Well, we turn to Zechariah chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. These verses bring us to the last of the 8 night visions that are given to the prophet Zechariah that comprise the first major section of this book. So, Zechariah 6. Verse 1 through 8. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, 4 chariots were coming from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are 4 spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country, the white are going after them, and the doubled are going toward the south country." Then the strong steeds went out eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go, walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country." So reads God's most precious word. Now the people of God, as we know, had come back from exile. They had come back to a ruined city. Resources are scarce. They are tired. They are hungry. There's barely enough food to go around. They've worked all winter to rebuild their homes amidst the rubble, and they are surrounded by enemies who constantly hinder them every step of the journey, so to speak. Now, at the center of the city, on top of the Temple Mount, in a profound symbol of loss and dereliction, all there is a gaping hole. The one piece of real estate, the one building in the universe where Almighty God made his glory dwell when he met with these people in grace, that building is gone. There's a foundation slab, there's an altar, that's it, nothing else. A more dramatic emblem of the destitution of the people of God can hardly be imagined. The great monument of Israel's identity as the people of God has been wiped off the face of the earth. So these folks have come back from exile, but they have come back to what? To political and military insecurity, economic austerity, and brutal, relentless manual labor. How easy it must have been to lose hope. Therefore, the final vision of Zechariah's 8 night visions is designed to generate hope when circumstances can't predict it. It's designed to fuel faith when what you see threatens to shatter your faith. It aims at begetting and sustaining believing obedience with everything in you, when everything in you and around you screams in your ear that you actually should just throw the towel in and walk away. You know, we all face crises in our life, and God's word helps us. You know, God's word gives us resources to help us in any crisis when it comes along. But you understand that what we are looking at here, this is not what this is, you know, just a crisis that has sprung up out of the blue. This isn't a sudden, acute trial. This is a long, slow, chronic pain in the life of the children of God. This isn't clinging to hope, you know, amidst a momentary crisis. This is about fighting for hope over long, long years. when there appears no real grounds in your circumstances to give you any hope at all. You know, so how will God's people rebuild? How will they press on through the pain and weariness and see the temple at last restored? How will they fight off the paralysis of fear when enemies begin to taunt them and mock them and conspire against them? My friends, just to personalize it, how will you and I persevere on the path of obedience when that path does not take you through green pastures or quiet waters, but rather the path takes you through a barren wilderness where there's no refreshing, where there's no water? It takes you up, you know, the proverbial Mount Everest, and the struggle is long and it's hard. What resources are there for you when circumstances seem to hinder rather than help? What will generate, what will sustain faith as you tenaciously cling to Christ amidst constant, unremitting hardship? Now, I use that word tenaciously clinging to Christ. You know, sometimes we think we're hanging on with our fingertips, and use that purposely, because that's how we feel at times. Now, we know that God has got us in the grip of his hand. He will never let us go. But sometimes we lose sight of that and we think, boy, I'm just barely holding on here and no more. So what can help us amidst those hardships? So Joe and Obina, we're looking at Zechariah 6. Okay, so Zechariah 6 verses 1 to 8. And Zechariah 6, 1 to 8 give us the answer to those questions that I've just thrown out. And the answer may surprise you, because the answer that Zechariah gives to God's people amidst this type of long, drawn-out trial that seems to be going on forever, the answer that Zechariah gives is actually the doctrine of God. And it's as fundamental as that. It's as basic as that. It's God that will sustain you. Knowing him, knowing who he is, knowing what he is like, is Zechariah's answer to the crushing burdens of the people of God. Nothing but God in all the fullness of the biblical presentation of him, you know, of his character and his nature. Nothing but God will help you persevere. So think first of all about the rule of God in verses 1 to 5. Now the prophet sees a vision of four chariots drawn by teams of furious colored horses coming out of heaven between two mountains. And they are sent all over the world in every direction by the Lord of all the earth. Now the chariot, of course, was the most versatile and deadly weapon in the arsenal of ancient Near Eastern armies. It had been used, the chariot had been used with terrible effect by the conquering Babylonians. And so Zechariah's vision begins straight out of the starting blocks with unavoidable military overtones. Only this time, friends, it's not the Babylonians or the enemies of the people of God. It's the sovereign Lord of all the earth himself who deploys the angelic troops of heaven in the prosecution of his purposes, for his glory and for our good in the world. But Zechariah links these military, these hints of military conquest to another theme. Remember, the central theme that Zechariah is writing to address is the need of God's people to press on and finish the work, particularly of rebuilding the temple. And that fact helps us understand the significance of these two bronze mountains between the angelic chariots as they proceed out of heaven. Now, according to 1 Kings 7, verse 13 and following, the original temple built by Solomon had two massive bronze pillars prominently displayed on either side of the main entrance. Now, these two bronze pillars are given two names in Scripture. The name of the first pillar was Jachin, which means he establishes. And the name of the other was Boaz, meaning in him there is strength. So if you were going up to worship in the temple, you know, Solomon's temple, during those days, you would have to pass between these two massive, colossal bronze pillars. It would have been impossible to miss their message. You know, this one, it's called Boaz, that's the Lord who, or this one's Jachin, that's the Lord who establishes. It's the Lord who establishes. What comfort does that bring? And then, you know, the other one, you know, Boaz, that's the Lord, you know, is the source. He's the foundation. He's the strength. And that's the message that they were giving to the people of God as they went into the temple. But these two pillars, along with the temple, are gone. You know, the Babylonians sacked the place. So the message of Solomon's pillars has been silenced. The people of God had been defeated. They were robbed of their strength. And now even that they're back in the promised land, they're living almost as a pathetic parody of their former selves. But you bring these two aspects of the vision in Zechariah 6 together, the military imagery and the allusion to the temple. And can you see the prophet's message, or God's message through the prophet for his people? The Lord is saying to them, the earthly temple with its pillars of bronze may be gone. But let me draw the curtain aside, let me draw the veil aside for you for a moment, and show you the sanctuary of heaven, where my throne is established. Here are the gates of my sanctuary in glory, immense and immovable, in which those two bronze pillars in Solomon's temple were but the dimmest of echoes. And you see, suddenly towering over Zechariah are mountains of bronze, not pillars, but mountains vast and unassailable. Their peaks is lost from the view of Zechariah, demonstrating visually, graphically, the truth that Solomon's bronze pillars could only but picture. Here's the reality. God is sovereign. So whatever the appearance, whatever the present indications to the contrary, you know, the people of God are weak and subdued. Zechariah understands, and the Lord is saying through Zechariah, look, these people need to be established. So remind them of my strength, which is unchanging. Zechariah, nothing can change that fact. And to prove it, he deploys the chariots of heaven's armies coming out from the presence of God to do his holy will. The Lord reigns. That's the point. History belongs to him. The nations belong to him, and even your trials are his servants. Deployed, albeit sometimes very often in sorrow, but deployed nonetheless to accomplish his gracious design for your ultimate good and his everlasting glory. And perhaps, friends, we need to pray that God would open our eyes, as he did the eyes of Zechariah at the beginning of this vision, just to see the truth and to remind us of the truth that behind the circumstances of our lives, to see the chariots of the Lord deployed in our defense, not unlike the servant of Elisha when he went out and the Syrians had surrounded them. And Elisha said, you know, Lord, open his eyes. And when he opens the servant's eyes, he sees the chariots of the Lord all around. And sometimes we need our eyes of faith just opened to see that God is actively working in our behalf and to remind us that greater is he who is with us than he who is with them. The rule of God, the sovereign rule of God, friends, that's the first point. The secondly, I just want you to see the reliability of God, which obviously follows quick on the heels of this one. Verses 5 to 8. The chariots are sent out in four different directions. The chariots are not sent out in four different directions. As such, they are deployed where they are needed. And you see, the point isn't that God sends them equally to each point of the compass, to each corner of the globe. The point is that God deploys them where, in his wisdom, he knows that they need to be deployed. That is to say, these are four angelic forces commissioned to carry out the Lord's sovereign will where he directs. So friends, whatever the insinuations to the contrary, that the serpent, you know, our arch enemy, the devil, may whisper in your ear during difficult days, you know, coming alongside you and saying, you know, you didn't bargain on this, did you? And has God really promised that he's going to deliver you from this? Well, it doesn't look like it at the moment. When Satan is whispering all of those insinuations in your ear, and he's saying, well, you can't really trust God, can you? You can't really take his word at face value. He's really not really reliable, is it? Well, you know, a vision like this reminds us that we can trust God, and we can trust God's word, because his promises are true, and he is unchangeably reliable, because he deploys where the need is. He deploys where it is most needed. So we are reminded here about God's rule and God's reliability. And finally, notice God's rest. If you were here at the beginning of our studies of Zechariah, the very first nightly vision that Zechariah received was a very similar vision to this one. In that first vision, he also saw horses. And the horses in that first vision were on a reconnaissance mission. They were patrolling the earth, reporting the condition of the world back to the Lord. And you remember in that first vision, the report came back to the Lord. In verse 11, it said that the world remains at rest. The nations are at rest. And the response to that by the Lord in chapter 1 verse 15 was exceeding anger. Remember that. The quiet rest of the nations was a self-assured, self-reliant, it was an arrogant, overconfident resting in their own self-sufficiency and security. These are the nations that oppose the people of God. These are the nations that oppose the worship of God and the rule of God. And they provoke the people of God. And the Lord promised in that opening vision, he promised judgment upon them. This judgment will come in due course. That was Zechariah's first vision. Well, here in the final vision, the eighth vision in Zechariah, once again he sees troops of coloured horses. Only now their mission is not to go out on a reconnaissance mission. Now it's action. These are chariots. These are weapons of war. You see, God is enforcing his justice. God is defending his people. Two troops, black and white, are sent north. That was the direction from which the Assyrians and the Babylonians came and attacked the people of God. Another troop is sent to the south. You know, the dappled horses, they are sent to toward Egypt, which is another ancient enemy of God's people. And you see, beloved, here is the Lord whose word is totally reliable, keeping his promise made in that first vision. And we see it fulfilled in this last vision. You see, God is following through what he promised. He's defending the returned exiles, and he is executing justice upon their oppressors. So that now instead of these nations being at rest, you know, that false rest of imagined security and pride, now in verse 8, it's God himself, his own spirit, who is at rest. Justice is done. His people protected. His promises kept. His spirit at rest. And friends, isn't that in the end the great foundation for our own hope amidst seemingly impossible odds at times and seemingly impossible trials? The serene rest of God, who is unperturbed by everything. And he's saying to us amidst our trials, look, don't worry. I'm still in control. Don't worry, I've made your promises, and I'm going to keep those promises. So don't be losing heart. You know, don't be becoming discouraged, because what is unfolding hasn't taken me by surprise. And when you go to the book of Revelation, you see a similar vision, don't you? When the first seal is open in Revelation chapter 6, and the four horsemen come riding out to judge a rebel world. We see the same picture in the book of Revelation, which takes up some of these images and builds upon them. But also at the end of Revelation, you have the rider on the white horse coming out, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we see Christ coming out, we see him subduing all his enemies and ushering in that new heaven and new earth. So God is saying, look, I'm not fazed by anything that happens in this world. You may turn on the news at night and despair, and you may become anxious. But he says, look, it doesn't faze me, because I'm in control. And he says, just as I promised the people of God in Zechariah's time, and just as I have reminded you in the book of Revelation, I will defend you. I will protect you. I will keep you by the power of God for my salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And when I reveal you at the last time, he says, you will be revealed in white garments, and I'll be saying, these are my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased and whom I love. They are my faithful servants. So he knows what we need. He knows that we need to be reminded again and again and again that he reigns and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.